It's called about, even in the word tells us that there's foolish virgins and wise virgins. Well, we need to have wisdom like crazy right now, I'm telling you. Because things are happening. Amen? Would you turn to Psalm 19? Psalm 19. You know, no matter what you're going through, there's a word that's wonderful. It's called go through. If you'll just go through, don't get stuck. Don't stay there. Keep going. It's called go through. Well, people, man, I'm going through. Well, get through it then, will you? Don't stay there. Some people use the word going through as staying there forever. They think they're going to stay there forever. But there's something vitally important, because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. So if we speak eternal things, we eat eternal things and we change. People are waiting for God to change them. Change me. You know what he does? He sends you somewhere and gives you tools to change. The problem is people want it their way, and God ain't going to do it man's way. He just doesn't do it that way. He says, come on in my house. I'm not going in your house. Your house is too dirty. Come in my house. So when we finally decide to say, okay, you know what, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, he says, show you. Show me. Show me you're willing to do whatever it takes. Okay, take this, speak it, read it. Here's a training manual right here. Start using it. Start breaking stuff off. Learn how to fight. Use the tools. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. The world's knowledge will not assist you. I don't care how many colleges you go through. I don't care how many degrees you got. Your degrees don't get you in heaven. Amen? And good people don't get to heaven either. Only those that are righteous. So that means you and I must eat of the tree of life, not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's important so that we don't associate with things that bring us down or contaminate us. We don't associate with things that are darkness or gray areas. We don't associate with them. That's why the word says something specific. Come out from among them. In other words, come out of the world. Why? Because the world only offers lust. More, more, and more. It offers deception. It offers demon management. Listen, you go to a doctor, and a doctor is going to cast a demon out of you. He's going to probably open up his bottle and say, here, take some more medication. I get a percentage of money for it, but you get learn demon management. Only where the Spirit of the Lord is there freedom. Only God heals us. That's it. People are going out and they're allowing demonic activity. Even a Christian can be loaded with demons. They're listening to secular music. They're touching unclean things. And it's so important that we stop doing these things. Why? Because time's about running out. And let me tell you, who you serve when you die is where you go. You want to serve the world? That's where you're going to stay. There's so much foolishness and so much deception. And we got so many believers that are in left field. They're not even in the court. They have no idea what's going on or what time it is. They're so busy with their life and trying to get a life when Jesus said, lose it. Give me that life. Quit trying to fulfill your life and start losing your life, and you'll have a real life. See, but people fight for their life more than fight for his life. Jesus mentioned the perfect formula. He said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. It's real simple. Denying yourself. We must deny ourselves. That means dismantle you. Get rid of you. You, get behind me. And let the anointing of Christ fill us and feed the new creation. That's why we must be born again. So that self is behind us. There are three kingdoms. The kingdom of self. The kingdom of Satan. And the kingdom of God. The kingdom of self is tangible. It's what we call the matrix. It's all tangible. Everything you see is the kingdom of self here. The kingdom of Satan is what rules the kingdom of self by deception. People have no idea that they're listening to the voice of a demon, voice of a stranger. What is a fiery dart? It's the voice of a stranger. And believe me, if we don't start discerning these things and monitoring what we think, the enemy is going to easily deceive people. Because deception is getting greater. The word says that before the lawless one is revealed, there'll be a falling away. And it's happening. We're in it. Remember, Satan's kingdom rules with deception. And his power is fear. He brings people into bondage of fear. And the only way to overcome that is to truly live in the Spirit in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is in the Spirit. It's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Not lust of the eye, lust of the flesh in the world. You'll never overcome the world with worldly things. You overcome the world with the presence of God. Amen? And in it, we our last gathering together, we were talking about seals. And some of the seals, people don't even realize that some of the seals have been broke already. They don't even realize what season or what's going on. They're so busy trying to fulfill their own life. And in Psalm 19, in verse 1, would you read it with me? It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech." In other words, his voice continues. When God spoke, it didn't stop. It's still going. "Day unto day utter speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." In other words, God spoke, and his words are still maintaining everything. He said, "In them he has set a tabernacle for the Son." In other words, a place for his Son. But he uses the parable and the parallel of the things of his creation to give us understanding of the things of the Spirit. He said, "Which is like a bridegroom," Jesus is the bridegroom, "coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven to the, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from his heat or hidden from his presence." He knows it all. He knows every thought, every motive, every attitude. In fact, we found out he holds all the hairs of our head, you know. We're waiting to get home to get the rest of it. Praise God. Verse 7. "The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned." We are warned. "And in keeping them there is great reward." So from drifting them from them there is danger. "Who can understand his ears? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from what? Yes. In other words, that's assumption. You know, people walk more on assumption instead of truth. They walk in what they call blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. No such thing at all. When God speaks, you see, you do. If God ain't speaking, you ain't seeing. Although some people God's speaking, they're staying sin because their heart's too hard. So when God speaks to us, we see it, we do it. It's called faith. There's no such thing as us. I'm going to just walk in blind faith. Well, that means blind. So if you're blind, there's no faith there. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have what? Dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In other words, heaven tabernacle, bridegroom coming for the bride. We are the bride. It says, nothing's hidden from his presence. For he's been speaking, warning, revealing. He's coming. His judgments and his wrath are coming. There's something that you and I must always maintain, and it is the fear of the Lord, which is reverence, honor, and respect. Let me tell you, when people lose the fear of the Lord, the reverence and honor and respect of the Lord, they backslide. They begin to drift. And I'm going to emphasize again, David said something powerful. He said, I always see the Lord before me. If the Lord is not before you, there's no relationship. And everything you and I do, and every decision we make, and wherever we go, we are never alone. If the Lord is not before you, then there really is no relationship. Because a relationship takes two. Does everybody get it? Too many people are putting the Lord behind them and saying, Lord, follow me. Let's go do this. Doesn't work that way. When Jesus showed up, what did he say to the disciples? He didn't even say, believe me. He said, follow me. That's what believe means. So if we're not a follower, God says we're a liar. Oh, I've been a believer 40 years. Never opened the Bible. Well, you're an idiot. You're deceived. Why? Because the Word says, if you don't believe this, you're lost. Living outside of salvation's truth, L-O-S-T. You're lost. Why? Because you don't know the truth. This is the divine Word of God Almighty. All kinds of testimonies. Powerful things. This is the manual training right here. This is the manual of training. We're to be trained up. This is not some wimpy Bible study. We are trained up to be officers in the kingdom, warriors for the King of Glory. The word Lord of Hosts means Lord of the Army. You don't want to be in the army? Well, then you'll be in the world. Because if you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. Amen? There's a battle going on. If you're not in it, you'll be a casualty, guaranteed. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 24. Now, just to verify something, an idiot is spiritually blinded. So don't take it personal. But if you're spiritually blinded, well, then, hallelujah. It's time to see. Amen? Time to get some vision and sight. Isn't that what Jesus said? What did he do? He came to bring what? Sight to the blind. Why? Because they couldn't understand what was the unseen realm. And it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. And a person that doesn't do that stays in the cycle of deception, which I was in for many years. Many years. Psalm 24 and verse 3, would you read it with me? Are you ready for this? What does it say? Who may ascend into the hill of the... Who may ascend? Who may be caught up? Hello? Does everybody get it? Who may be what? Caught up. That means caught up to his presence. He says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? But or who may stand in his holy place? Well, that's caught up. You know, there's an event that's going to be happening. It's called the rapture. Who's going to be caught up? It tells you right here. Are you ready? Can you handle this? In verse 4, he says, he who has what? clean hands and a what? Pure heart. But I've been a believer. I've been going to church. So what? God's not counting how many times you show up to service. He wants to know whether you're showing up to receive. Because if you're not executing this word, you're not a believer. Does everybody get it? Why? Because believe, receive, execute. If you're not executing this word that's in this Bible, you are not a believer. Should we go a little further? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. You know, we can be the idol. We're our worst enemy. Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive what? Blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who what? Seek him. Do you seek him? Do you pray before you do anything? Be anxious for nothing. Amen? But in all things, prayer and supplication. In other words, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. This is relationship. He's before you in everything you do. Everything you say, you know, he know. He's always there, always, always there. That's relationship. If he's not always there, you do not have a relationship. You're religious. And that's what the enemy wants to do, get us in a religious state. So that people do this. Oh, God won't see. He's God. We live and have our being in him. How dumb can we be and still breathe? Amen? He is God and he knows it all. And nothing is hidden. Every motive, every attitude, every decision. So why not put him in front of us and look to him when we make decisions? That's called relationship. Does everybody get this? If that's not a part of your life, it needs to be. Because if it's not, then there's no reverence, there's no respect, and there's no relationship. None. It's amazing how many people go to school and cheat, take tests and cheat, like God doesn't know. Because there's no relationship. There's no respect to the presence of God. Words that come out of their mouth that are disgusting, cursing. No respect in the presence of God. Doesn't mean we won't make a mistake. Amen? But when you do, you repent quickly. And you don't blame it on nobody else. Oh, the hammer made me do it. The one I dropped on my foot and I said something. No, man, just take your responsibility. Lord, forgive me. Why? Because you want to maintain relationship. What keeps you in close to the Lord is the blood of Christ. And it's activated through your repentance. Oh, I haven't sinned in 20 years. Whoa. Anybody tells you that, back away from them. As far as you can. Because they're about to explode soon. They're walking dynamite. Hallelujah. So those who are going to be taken will have to have a pure heart and clean hands. And only a person that has a pure heart and clean hands has a relationship with the Lord. Why? Because they maintain an honor, respect, reverence to him. They acknowledge him in all of his other ways. They commit to him their works. They want to have a pure heart and clean hands. They want to have the mind of Christ. They want to have a desire. Listen, if you don't have a desire to please God, something's wrong with you. There's no relationship at all. You're L-O-S-T, living outside of salvation's truth. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, and it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." Now understand something. The scroll has seven seals on it. So many times people think that there's multiple scrolls with a seal on it. The scroll has seven seals. In fact, in that period of time, what they used to do is when you had a scroll, they would put seven pieces of string on it, and where the knot was, they put a wax seal. That's how they would send scrolls to one another. A scroll is associated with ownership. And I saw a strong angel, I said a strong angel, proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And again, I believe that these were the seven spirits that were carrying the letters to the churches. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him, God the Father, who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So it was making a powerful statement that only Jesus, who paid the price, could open the scroll because he paid the price for all mankind. Amen? He paid the price. Now, again, something I want to say about the seals. The seals, when you break the seals, because Jesus would be the one to break the seals and then he would undo the string in the scroll. And the scroll is open this way, horizontal, not vertical. And in this, each seal represents a time of something beginning. Something that where it's going to escalate. It doesn't mean that everything's going to happen because that seal is broken. But in that seal, sometimes it will speak about the things that are happening in the beginning, and sometimes it speaks with the things that are happening in the end. But in between, there's trumpets and bowls. Does everybody understand that? So seals that are broke are a proclamation, like a prediction. But they're a proclamation of things to come. It doesn't mean that it's everything is happening all at once. Amen? And I just want to review, because we already went through the first five seals, and I want to just review it again. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties, so I'm going to have to redo the last teaching we did over. In Revelation chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened the one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. So the first four seals are associated with colors of horses. And I'm just going to throw out some scriptures so we don't get caught up in this all night. So Revelation verse 6, 1 and 2 is about the first seal. It's a white horse. It's a representation of the Antichrist false prophet that would come. In other words, it's happening already. These seals have been broken. And it parallels what Matthew 24, verses 3 through 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, verses 3. Yeah, through 5, something like that. Let's go to Matthew 24. I want to go there for a second so we know where we are. Matthew 24. So you're going to see a parallel of the book of Revelations and the seals and the book of Matthew and 24. Also, you'll find also parallels also in the book of Daniel and some of the prophetic. In Matthew 24, in verse 3, it states, "Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age,'" which is the end of the age of grace. It's not the end of the world. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one," what? "Deceives you." Satan's greatest weapon is deception. His power is fear. Now look at what he said in verse 5. "For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." That is the white horse. It's a false prophet. It's the Antichrist prophet. It actually comes out of Catholicism. Is everybody okay? In Revelation chapter 6, in verse 3 and 4, which will be the second seal, it says, "When he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." Now, we know that there's killings going on right now. In fact, tremendous amount of killings. People are killing one another over crazy stuff. But in this, we see that it's a representation in Matthew 24, 6 and 7, that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Amen? Wars and rumors of wars. And it'll be nation against nation. In other words, ethnic group against ethnic group. And kingdom against kingdom. And that's in Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5, it says that, "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he was sat on it, had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the wine, or the oil and the wine.'" In other words, there will be famine. So we see that the first one means false prophets, false religion. The next one's associated with wars and rumors of wars, and where there'll be people will be killing one another, which is the red horse. And the black horse means famine. And he says, "Don't harm the oil and the wine." Well, the oil is the Holy Spirit, and those who have been washed by the blood is known as the wine. Is everybody with me? Don't harm them. So if you're not, again, you'll have to reference this to Matthew 25, where it talks about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. The wise ones were filled with the oil. Amen? The foolish ones weren't. Hallelujah. One of the things that it's a famine right now is truth. Truth is a famine. Truth has been taken out. Look, it's been exchanged for everything in this country. We got anti-truth in government here. The president is Antichrist spirit and all of his cohorts, and people will vote for him. They're going to get blood on their hands. They don't even realize that there's Christians that put in a president that promotes same-sex marriage and promotes killing children and abortions, and they voted for him. You know why? No relationship. No relationship. No conviction. No guidance by this Holy Spirit. They put him in office because of his culture and color, not because of his fruit. I don't care where or who, you judge by fruit. I'm a fruit inspector. Your fruit stinks. I don't want to be near you. Amen? Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7, you know, it's going to be pretty wild when all those who are Medicaid, Medicare, and disability, Social Security, food stamps, it's going to be taken. And what will be offered to them is a simple mark. See, that's what this is about, because this famine is going to, remember, when the seals were broke, which was most likely, I believe, in 2012, because that was a new age of darkness that increased. That's when Obama was reelected. I knew we were in trouble then. Of course, I remember when Clinton was reelected, when he fornicated with that woman, Monica whatever, and the country reelected him. I knew things were in trouble then. But Obama, he tripled all that. What an Obamanite. But anyways, praise God. He came in and did what he was supposed to do. Bring down the country, disarm us spiritually, mentally, physically. There ain't no gold in Fort Knox. He's just ushering in the Antichrist. He went out and spent all the money knowing that things are ending. Hallelujah. In verse 7, and when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I looked and behold a pail. That word pail is a Greek letter or a word called kairos. And in it, it actually means greenish. Now understand this. And the name of him who sat on it was death. In other words, its purpose was to promote death. And Hades followed with him. In other words, demons. These were demonized individuals. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth. Well, Islam is about a fourth of the earth. Are you listening? And over the fourth, to kill with the sword. Hello? Who beheads with the sword? Not your neighbor, I hope. With hunger, with death. And by the beasts of the earth. Does everybody see that? Again, green. Well, what do they wear? They wear green, aren't they? Amen. In fact, their headbands say in the name of Allah, which is actually Greek Arabic 666. So they already carry the name. They're already marked. And they're required to receive a mark. It is according to their tradition, mark. So, and of course, they believe that when they die, they're going to have virgins. So they're going to have sex after they die. Well, let me tell you, that ain't heaven to me. That's not where we're going. There's no need for that. Why? We're fulfilled. Hallelujah. Poor people waking up in hell, thinking they're doing something for God. But they're not. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's go to the fifth seal, because this is an important seal. It says, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word and for the testimony which they held. They had been slain. They were under the altar. Those are believers that have died already for their testimony. And when he they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number and their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Now, in Matthew 24, it talks about going to tribulation. See, these are the first five seals that were broke were known as the beginning of sorrows. Again, it's the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end. So these seals that are being broken, that means there's a beginning and an end. It sometimes speaks of the beginning and the end, but it's escalating. Why? Because there's still trumpets and bowls associated with each seal. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. And we know that right now many people, I mean, if you look around the world, how many people are being beheaded by Islam? Amen? For their false belief system. So we see that the first five seals that were broken of the scroll, of the judgment and wrath, not yet, all to come yet. Amen? So it's gradual. Would you turn to Luke 21 with me? Luke 21 and verse 25. Would you read it with me, please? And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. In other words, something is going on. Men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, everyone say begin. Look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. What redemption is he talking about? Now, we are already redeemed, aren't we? Turn to Romans 8. He said, when you see these things, begin to happen. Know that you're getting closer. Amen? You're getting closer. Things are getting closer. Why? Because your redemption draws near. Well, okay, cool. What's my redemption? In verse 22. Is everybody there? Romans 8, 22. Let's speak it together. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, waiting to get a brand new body.
Yes.
Hair and everything, man. Praise God. Because for our redemption, in other words, he's saying, get ready for a glorified body. In verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance, or what? Endurance. Amen? Praise God. We wait with it for perseverance and endurance. This is the redemption of our body. Look at, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Glorified body. Now that's going to happen in rapture, isn't it? Amen. We're going to change as we're cruising up. As we're getting caught up. Moving on up. And then into the east side. To the other side. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what? Last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast. What's that next word? Immovable. Do not get moved. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we see this is what he's talking about. Let's go back to Luke 21. At the last trump sound, and when we see these things begin to happen, that's what he was saying. What things? When you see signs in the sun, when you see signs in the moon, when you see signs in the heavenlies, when you see all of, when you see that the oceans are roaring, when you see men freaking out, when we're at peace, they're freaking out because they don't know what's next. We do. I'm going home. Amen. Verse 28, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Now, so he's given us kind of like a conclusion, a summary. Okay, this is what's happening. Hang tough now. Now, but there's some more information I want to give you. He says it right here. He says, then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree. The fig tree means who? Israel. And all the trees, when they are already budding, you see and know yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, what things? All the things that we just talked about, signs in the heavenlies and everything else, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, Israel being the fig tree, so when Israel became a nation in 1948, that generation is 70 years long. Amen. A generation is 70 years. So if you take 70 and 148, you get to 2000 what? 18. So it says within 2018, you will, by 2018, you're going home. So everybody get this. Hallelujah. Now, if our calendar is off a little bit, you know, what's a year or two? Just don't be moved. Hallelujah. And verse 34, are you ready for this? No. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be what? Weighed down. With what? Carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that they come upon you unexpectedly. In other words, you get distracted. You begin to drift. You're not disciplined. You're not consistent. You're not alert. You're easily being swayed, going back, beginning to touch unclean things, not repenting, not exposing yourself. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to what? To escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal. Is everybody there? So we see all of these things have already started. We see that the saints have been, many saints have been killed, but there's going to be more that are going to be killed. We've gone from the beginning of sorrows, getting ready to enter into tribulation and then great tribulation. It says that the fourth angel sounded and a third of the sun was struck. And a third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that the third of them were dark. In other words, something came in between so that a third of everything was blinded, darkened. Does everybody understand it? Oh, I'm in the wrong thing. A little ahead of myself. Hold on a second. Okay, let's go back. Verse 12. And I looked, and he opened, and I looked. And he opened the what? The sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth. In other words, a meteor shower. As a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by the mighty wind. So we see it won't be a heavy shower. It'll be a simple meteor shower. The size of fig trees. The size of figs. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Well, something occurred. There has to be something bigger to move everything out of its place. And now look at this. And the kings of the earth, the great men. Now grab hold of this, because it says the kings of the earth. The second one is the what? Great men. The third one is the rich men. And the commanders. And the mighty men. These are the mighty men of renown, known as Nephilim. Every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, I got to share something with you, so don't freak out on me. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, who is able to stand. Now, you got to remember, Satan's kingdom, the demonic forces, fallen angels, Nephilims, and hybrids, they all know what's getting ready to happen, don't they? In fact, they're trying to alter as much as they can. So we see that all of the kings and all people that were known as famous, amen, wealthy, they went into the caves. Well, since 1983, they sent up in space a telescope that can see far. And they saw something. And they realized that something has been coming to this earth. Many times things have passed by. In fact, I think a couple of years ago or something passed by. I think it was last year. And they were all concerned about it, but nothing really happened. And things bounce off our atmosphere and so forth. But this is something bigger that they saw. And since 1983, they have been digging. The government has been digging caves, shelters all through the country. In fact, Rumsfeld got busted. Of course, remember, he had admitted that there was $2.3 trillion missing from the Defense Department. And, of course, 2 days later, the towers came down. So we know that there was a distraction from the $2.3 trillion missing. And they've been building these caves for a long time. And there have been many testimonies of individuals who've driven there. Some of these individuals who were truckers and bringing food there, and they were told all kinds of stuff. And in fact, one of them drove 600 miles around, I forgot how far, underneath the earth. He said he went down, and he went across the whole. He had to go he was carrying two tractor trailers or something like this of food and whatever. He said he was under the earth for 600 miles. And the government has been building all of these things, and it's almost like Noah's Ark. They've been saving. There are seeds that they've been taking. There's DNA of animals. They have this on video. You can look this all up on YouTube. All kinds of things that have been going on. Well, what are they protecting themselves from? From some cosmic event that is supposedly occurring, getting ready to occur. Again, they know that God is in control, and they have a short time. This is Satan's kingdom, knows they have a short time. It's almost like Noah's Ark. And what does the word tell us? It says, as in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, so will be the Lord's coming. Well, in the days of Noah, we know that the Nephilims were there and there was a flood. Well, how's a flood? He said he'd never destroy the earth with a flood, right? But meteors and so forth are fire, aren't they? So fire would come down and cause floods and so forth and whatever, cause disasters. So we see that there's been a tremendous amount of hurry for things to get accomplished because they know time is running out. That's why Obama's been out spending all kinds of money. Now, Hollywood does what we call a predicted programming. And in this predicted program, if you've watched any movies, Evan Almighty talks about September 22nd of a flood and Noah's Ark. You've got Deep Impact, talks about the 23rd. All of these things are talking about in September. And if, in fact, Deep Impact has a black president and so forth, all kinds of stuff that coordinate. And they spoke about all kinds of things, Matt, that were parallel to it to blow you away if you're really seeing it. The Knowing talks about September. Tomorrowland, and there's multiple things that talk about September. Why? Because they do a predicted program. They must confess certain things. On the money, it's been portrayed in everything, hasn't it? The French Prime Minister, at a conference on May 13th, September, 2014, made a statement with the President and his vice president to their people on national news that there was 500 days left before a climatic chaos happened. That 500 days plus from May 13th to 2014 ends up in September on Yom Kippur Day, known as Day of Judgment or Day of Atonement, which is this September. If you don't know, I don't know if you've heard of anything called Operation Jade Helm 15. It is what they call a military joint operation and an execution of homeland security, supposedly, with local militants. In other words, they've been all over the country preparing. What are they preparing for? They're preparing for martial law. It's very possible that martial law will come into effect because they may be announcing some things of the exchange of money where our money will not be any good. You'll have to take on their money from now on. It'll be the one world order money. The 70th session of the UN to meet and vote regarding Palestinian state. They want to approve Palestinian to be a state. I don't know if you know or not, but Obama, of course, you know, we know this year that he approved same-sex marriage, but even as Iran deal with the nuclear weapons, they're expecting Iran to be able to have a nuclear weapon within two to six months. And they're giving them billions of dollars. So they're really not stopping it. They're promoting it. We've got also the final blood moon, which will be September 28th. It'll be ending the tetrad, which is the super blood moon. It will be it will fall on the Feast of Tabernacles, and that will be the arena that Israel will be able to see that blood moon. Then you got the Shemitah, which is a year. It will end this September 13th. It is a 7-year cycle. And then there'll be a jubilee following that, entering the 50th year of jubilee, and it's actually the 40th year of 40th jubilee. We've got the Pope coming to visit in Philadelphia in September. He's going to make some strange announcement. Don't believe it. In June 30th, 2015, after 2,000 years, the Star of Bethlehem was seen. It's where the Venus and Jupiter lined up, which is known as Virgin and King. And they saw the Star of Bethlehem. It's been over 2,000 years since it's been manifested to see. There's what we call 7-year cycles. And in the 7-year cycles, there's something very important, because when a country doesn't turn from its ways, things begin to manifest in the 7-year cycles. It's usually economic. And in September 17th, 2001, we had a stock market crash, of 685-point crash, which really devastated this country. Well, the country still didn't turn. September 29th, 7 years later, the stock market crashed, and the points were 777. So now we are entering 7 years later, which would be September 13th, 2015. They're actually expecting an economic collapse completely, so that the money will be exchanged Again, we are in a time of trials, tribulations, an area where we must be close to the Lord to know what he's saying in preparation for what's getting ready to happen. You know, I happened to turn on the news on the 3rd of this month. And there was 11 shootings in Baltimore. San Francisco's burning 20,000 acres. And then California was burning 43,000 acres in another location. Memphis police have been shot. It's the fourth one that's been assassinated. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff going on. And it's continued to escalate more and more and more. So we see here that these seals are a state of beginning and an end, but in between, again, there's to accomplish the following of the seals, there'll be seven trumpets and seven bowls. It's very possible that we are getting ready in September of 2015, this next September. There are three feasts that must be fulfilled. It's the Feast of Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacle. There's, if it hasn't been signed already, it's possible that there'll be a seven-year treaty signed, if it hasn't been signed already. There are things that have been done behind closed doors that we don't really know if it's been done or not. And the purpose of the treaty would be to unify people together so that they could all run into the caves. Amen. Now, in tribulation, it will be 3.5 years. It will be run by the harlot system, Mystery Babylon. The second 3.5 years will be run by the beast. And it's very possible that the rapture, the removal of the church, could be this September. It could be 3.5 years later. Or it could be 7 years later, but I don't think so. It's estimated that this planet that is coming around us, it's, they call it Planet X. It's called Nibiru. They have seen this. In fact, it's calculated that it comes around so many years to where it was here when Jesus was on the cross. And when he was on the cross, it became dark for 3 hours. Well, an eclipse couldn't do that. Only something bigger. This planet supposedly is 5 times larger than the Earth and carries 4 to 5 moons with it. It will carry a tail of asteroids. You know, when these planets come around. In fact, that same planet came around on the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. That planet came around on the day of Noah. And this planet is supposed to be coming around this year. They speculate sometime in December. If it's not this December, it'll be the next December, or it'll be 3 years later. But they said it's not a speculation of if, it's a speculation of when. And what's going to happen is the Earth, because this planet will come around, the Earth is actually going to have to go through its tail that will be carrying all debris. And we will be going through it for 1 full hour. This is what they're saying. And they don't know how much damage will be done, but they're running to the caves. But there's something that the Lord said, I will come and get you. We are not accounted for the wrath of God. Amen. I truly believe that because, you know, even in the plagues in the book of Exodus, amen, none of God's children were touched. That's why he said, do not harm the oil and the wine. Does everybody get it? Why? Because we're sealed. We're protected. Is everybody okay? Let's go to Revelation 8. We'll keep updating everyone on what's going on. I believe it's going to begin the 70th week of Daniel, which we'll talk about our next gathering. In Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, when he opened the seventh seal, now here's the seventh seal, verse 1, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw these seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given the what? Seven trumpets. So things are about to what? Escalate. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with prayers and all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. Here comes fire again to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. Again, it's another escalation. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound, and the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all trees and all grass was burned up. The second angel sounded in something like a great mountain burning with fire. A great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. This sounds like a larger asteroid. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, another one. And it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of the waters. And the name of the star is Wormwood. Now, Wormwood is also known as Chernobyl, which there was a nuclear accident in Russia years ago. And, of course, we know that there was a nuclear accident in Japan but a few years ago. And that has not been sealed yet. It's still continuously leaking, and they can't contain it nor seal it. And everything around it is constantly going, and it's killing off all kinds of life. And it says, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, which we had spoke about already, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were dark. In other words, something came in between them. And a third of the day did not shine. Does everybody see this? So that means it was 8 hours dark. So this thing was close, huge. Remember, this planet is 5 times larger than the Earth, and it carries 4 to 5 moons with it. And I look, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 3 woes to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the 3 angels who are about to sound. So the other 3 blasts of the trumpets had even been released. In fact, the bowls haven't even been poured out yet. But I don't believe that we're to be a part of that. And if any part of that we are of it, we will be protected. Does everybody understand that? So we should have no fear. The only fear we should have is the fear of the Lord. And if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you better get it. Amen? Better stay in that position where he was number one, and he's always before you in relationship. This is the 6th and 7th seal in the things that are about to happen. Again, we will keep updating on everything and what's going on. We as his children are not left in the dark. We are the children of light. That's why you're knowing all this right now. But we'll see what's getting ready to happen. In one aspect, there's an excitement about what's getting ready to happen because we're about to go home. So I'm not asking you to go out and charge up all your charge cards, because if there's a delay, you may end up in jail. Amen. So don't get stupid. Get wise. And get prepared. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one here that what's been imparted in us become revelation and understanding. Be protected by the blood and grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, we know time is short and things are happening. But you said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, nothing shall touch us. You are our hope and our strength and our life. Not man, not finances. You are our source, and everything else is a resource. So Lord, continue to release understanding to your people. And keep us in that place with you, so we're not misled, deceived, or become anxious for anything, but that we will trust, rest, and wait upon you all the days that are left, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Be blessed.